this is the third part of a series of talks on Thérèse, and you remember we were talking about her life and her conversion, and then secondly we were thinking about her faith and the love of God. So this third session now is about how that flows into her relationships, so Thérèse and the love of one's neighbour, and really staying on that same key idea of her little way. But as we saw, her little way is something pretty powerful, and it affects her understanding of God, that way of spiritual childhood, and we're going to see now how it affects one's relationships, and to see that it doesn't just mean smiling at people, although most of us do need to smile a bit more, but it's much more powerful than that. But the simple point first, which is, before looking at the deep theology of her little way that she developed as a Carmelite, it's important to say that Thérèse grew up, as I've already said, in an atmosphere of love. So it's not just her at the coalface in Carmel reading the scriptures. She grew up with ideas of love. Put it another way, she was schooled in the virtues. And I know there's lots of teachers here, so you know how important it is to be thinking about how children develop and grow in love and virtue and goodness. And she knew, without almost having to be told, that the love of one's neighbour is an essential part of the gospel. So it's really important for us on retreat now. We've been thinking about ourselves mainly for 24 hours, but to be thinking, right, we're going back into the world to meet all these people, family, friends, colleagues, people we're dying to see, people we're dreading seeing. So Thérèse, we're not leaving the gospel and the Lord to go to the world. We're going out to live the gospel now. And as I say, Thérèse knew that love of neighbour was an essential ingredient of the gospel. And there's a lovely phrase that G.K. Chesterton used about St. Francis of Assisi. He said, Francis was a lover of God, and he was really and truly a lover of men. Possibly a much rarer mystical vocation. So yes, we know Francis loved God, but the fact that he loved his brothers and sisters, his neighbour, is a much rarer mystical vocation. And Thérèse says, this is almost like a summary really of where we're going, ah, what peace floods the soul when she rises above natural feelings. Remember what I said about conversion in the first talk. Not that we hate ourselves, but when we're freed from the trap of only interpreting the world in terms of our own feelings and desires, when we can go beyond that, what peace we feel, what peace we find. And as I say, Thérèse grew up with a genuine Christian love infused into her whole childhood. The experience of love, the love that she received, in other words, from mum and from dad and from her sisters and her extended family. The love of Christ that she felt and knew from the scriptures, the stories she read, from her own prayer, from the sacraments. And I was telling you yesterday about how important her first Holy Communion was for her. And it wasn't just experiencing this, she learnt about it. So it's a lovely example of how important it is that our experience connects with our doctrine. And even for little children, that they experience love and that they're given the tools to understand the meaning of love. So she had a knowledge from her catechesis, from theology, from the sermons she heard, of the true meaning of love. That it is... And she really knew this in her bones, that love is a tender, warm, affectionate thing, but it's also something that requires great sacrifice and cost. And she knew that as a young girl. This is the theological balance that I keep talking about in Thérèse. And it's something that we often find hard, don't we, in adulthood. We either think love is about passionate feelings and affection, or we think love is just about working hard and slogging our guts out and giving everything up. And somehow to see that it's both. And finally on this list of experiences for the little Therese, she had actually had the practice of love. I mean, she had the example of her father and sisters teaching her the meaning of what it is to grow up as a loving Christian. She would go almsgiving with her dad. This sounds a bit sweet today, and it's certainly very limited, but she would go along the street, her dad would have some coins in his pocket to give to his little daughter in order to give to the poor that they passed in the streets. Now, as I say, it's a very limited view of what love of neighbour is, but it's a very real one still that Therese learnt. You have to think outside the bounds of your safety zone, your comfort zone. So Therese learnt to love and had the experience of being loved with her family, her extended family, the stranger, her faith, her God. And it was a balanced, not an unhealthy view of love. It was wounded by the loss of her mother. I mean, her whole heart and psychology, as I said yesterday, was wounded. But thank goodness, her understanding of love wasn't distorted. She knew the meaning of love. Human, warm, affectionate, but also having great cost at certain times. And the fact that the love of one's neighbour and family was inseparable from the love of God. So she grew up with that, and she didn't need to learn that. But what did this mean for her when she went through her conversion, as she became an adult and as she was entering into religious life? Well, I said yesterday, a key to Therese is that she was a thinker as well as a doer. And this was one of her thoughts. She had to work this out. She realised that she had a desire to be everything for Christ. She wanted to be a martyr, to preach the gospel like a priest did, to be a great saint, to be a missionary, to be an evangelist. And she was tormented by unfulfilled longings. So there she is, this young woman living a very limited life in a small world. But she's full of these passionate desires to love. And I think that it's not that each of you is exactly like Therese, but you can identify with that, yes? A young person with passionate desires and things you care about and not quite sure how and when they're going to be fulfilled, if ever. So she's there as a young person with that same question. And she says, well, let me find an answer, and I trust that God will give me one. So she begins looking in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and she says, that's where I found the answer. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, that all the most perfect gifts, the greatest gifts God can give us, the greatest things we can do for God, are nothing without love. And quote, charity gave me the key to my vocation. I understood that the church had a heart, and that this heart was burning with love. I understood that love comprised all vocations, that love was everything, that it embraced all times and all places. I cried out, O Jesus, my love, my vocation, at last I have found it. My vocation is love. In the heart of the church I shall be love. And this is the key to the quotation. Thus, I shall be everything. And thus my dream will be realised. So, what she did was, she had all these desires, genuine desires, holy desires, as you do. And she went to the root of them, to see that the root desire was to love and be loved. And that that love could be found in many different places, and it could be lived where she was, and in that way all her deepest dreams could be fulfilled through that love. And put it the other way, none of her other dreams and passions and longings would have actually meant anything if she hadn't discovered love at the heart of them all. So she's saying two things to us, I think. One is, we need to be honest about what our hopes and dreams and desires are, and pray about them, as I know you do, and think of what they mean, and pray that the Lord will fulfil them. And in one sense, we're different from Thérèse. Well, you are. I say we, I mean you. I've found my vocation in the sense of, I know I'm called to be a priest. And Thérèse was doing lots of this thinking as a Carmelite. So, for some of you, for many of you, there's a question about the direction of your life, a very real one. Of, okay, I'm working and studying, but I'm not quite sure which direction to go in and which path to follow. So, it's good that you're thinking and praying about that, as Thérèse did, and God willing, he will guide you in that and help you at each stage to discern what is the next step for you. And that's very important. But the second thing she's saying is, whatever your path, whatever your vocation, whatever seems to be fulfilled or unfulfilled, don't forget that now, already, you do have a vocation, which is to love. And that actually your deepest happiness and fulfilment, that maybe you think you're only going to find in 6 years' time when you've got it, whatever it is, that your deepest fulfilment you can find now. And you should. Because you're a Christian called to love. It doesn't mean there aren't other plans for you. It doesn't mean you have to stop praying. But just hold these two things together. Hold together a real desire to know what God wants and to find out your direction in life. So in that sense you're saying, I'm not quite there yet. There's a future that beckons me. But hold that together with the desire to love in the present moment. And in fact, believe that you can only discover your vocation, your long-term plan, if you are loving in the present moment. They're actually inseparable. So, Thérèse made this key core discovery of her vocation to love. And as I said, some of this is true of all of us as Christians, but part of it is very specifically an insight that she felt was special for her as a Carmelite. And that flowed into a particular focus for her vocation, which was a profound desire to work for the conversion of sinners. I've mentioned this already with that prayer that she made for Prancini, the murderer, that he would have some kind of repentance at the end of his life. It was so significant for Thérèse because she realised that through that sign it was like a confirmation of her longing to give her life for others in prayer. And she says, quote, "The cry of Jesus on the cross sounded continually in my heart. I thirst. These words ignited within me an unknown and living fire. I wanted to give my beloved to drink, and I felt myself consumed with a thirst for souls." And another quote, "I would like to save souls and forget myself for them." So there's Thérèse looking at the crucifix, hearing, as it were, the cry of Jesus from the cross, "I thirst." And she interprets that as a personal call of the longing and the need of other people for love and for spiritual help and for the grace of conversion. And she says, my vocation is to try and meet that thirst, to meet that need of love in other people. And it's interesting, isn't it? Have any of you ever been in a chapel of Mother Teresa? Yeah?
You stayed in one? Well, you stay in 2000.
Great, great. Well, you might remember, but in every chapel in a Mother Teresa house, there's a crucifix above the altar, and painted in the wall next to the crucifix is the two words, I thirst. Because that was the key to Mother Teresa's mission and her spiritual experience, was the cry of Jesus on the cross, I thirst for love. And Jesus himself longing for love, and Jesus saying on behalf of the whole of humanity, I long for love and tenderness and prayer and affection. So you and I might not use the same language, right? Which is, I'm thirsting for souls, right? You might not use that language. But I hope you can see that the theology here is true for all of us, which is recognizing the need for love that's in the heart of every human being, and the need for God. And that in some way, it might not have the same focus as Thérèse, but in some way, the vocation of you and me is to give our lives in love as a response to that hunger for love and that hunger for God that the people we meet around us have. So it's not complicated or old-fashioned in that sense, is it? Think of the ordinary people you're going to meet tomorrow, right? Monday morning, tomorrow. You're going to school, to the IT department, you're going to work, you're going to civil service, you're going to wherever it is, yeah? You're going to meet this group of people, you're going to meet your family, your flatmates. In your human heart, you're probably excited or groaning or a mixture of both, yeah? But just to see this in a spiritual perspective, you're going to meet real human beings made in the image of God, whom Jesus loves, who are longing for love. And in some small way, you can be part of the Lord giving his love to other people. That's all Thérèse is saying, really. And that you can see this not just, oh, as a sweet thing you happen to do tomorrow morning, but as part of your own vocation, as part of what you're made for. Thérèse goes even deeper here. It's not just, I long to give love and receive love and others need love. It's that we share in the saving work of Jesus. This is a key doctrine of the New Testament. And a key Catholic doctrine, which Thérèse understood. To quote her, it is because Jesus has so incomprehensible a love for us that he wills that we have a share with him in the salvation of souls. He wills to do nothing without us. Meaning, not that we're another saviour, right, Jesus is the only saviour. But as we know from almost every page on the New Testament, he invites us to share in his saving work. He asks us to love other people. He asks us to pray for other people. He asks us to suffer with him on behalf of other people. This is what Jesus himself says. It's what the letters of St. Paul are full of. So to be a Christian is not just to know the love of Jesus. It's to be given that responsibility of sharing in the saving work of Jesus. This is no more than Jesus saying, the harvest is rich and the labourers are few. Will you be my labourers? It's no more than him saying to St. Peter, now I will make you a fisher of other people. And in fact, Well, you know this, I hope, that through your baptism, you, as lay people, and me as a priest, all of us through our baptism, were made priests, prophets, and shepherds, kings, rulers. That vocation is not just for priests. I have a special role as an ordained minister. Talk about that another time. But each of us, through our baptism, are given the gift of sharing in the priesthood of Jesus, in the prophetic work of Jesus, and in the shepherding and love of Jesus. So, on the one hand, a great vocation and work that we have to do. On the other hand, Therese is very balanced, I keep saying this. She knows that she can claim nothing of this for herself. And to quote her again, I hold nothing in my hands. Everything I have, everything I merit, is for the church and for souls. In other words, nothing I do, none of the love I receive or the love I give, it's not mine to possess. It's all for other people. Her heart was transparent to others. Real purity of intention. And she said at the end of her life, so this is just to draw this bit to a conclusion now, this was right at the end of her life, I feel my mission is about to begin. My mission of making God loved as I love him. Of giving my little way to souls. If God answers my desires, I will spend my heaven in doing good on earth. So even at the end of her life, after those 18 months of terrible suffering, when you might think, she's thinking, thank goodness it's all going to be over soon and I can get my reward in heaven. The focus is still, if and when, God willing, I get to heaven, I still want to be consumed with a love for other people. It's profound, isn't it? It's quite scary, really. I'm thinking, gosh, when this suffering can be over, then I can get to heaven and enjoy life. And Therese is saying, no, I do hope this is over, but when it's over, I want to continue this mission of mine, which is to love. So, that's the theology of vocation, if you like. And as I say, in some way it's quite specific to Therese. It's a vocation for her as a Carmelite nun, realising, as Carmelites do, that I want to pray for souls. And in one way that doesn't apply to you. Or me. We're not Carmelite nuns. But in another way, the key discovery for her was that love has to be at the heart of anything and everything I'm doing. And if it's not, all that I'm doing is worthless. And if it is, everything I'm doing will be worthwhile, even if I don't seem to have discovered what I think I ought to be doing yet. So there's a great liberation for all of us in discovering that our deepest vocation is to love. That's the theological key.